Content warning. This essay contains sensitive and potentially distressing content related to death, miscarriage, and depression. Listener discretion is advised. The Cardboard Box by Dr. Hayden Von Coombs. The cardboard box looked unremarkable, its exterior marred by a few scrapes and its corners rounded over time, yet there was a gravity to it. Layers of tape bore evidence of its once urgent necessity, and the weight in my hand felt heavy, far beyond its physical dimensions. My wife had a tortured relationship with the box. It was too painful for her to look at, but the notion of letting it go, of removing its physical presence, was an agony she couldn't entertain. With a sigh, I placed it on a wooden shelf, sandwiched between books with uncracked spines, relics from hobbies that once filled my time, and the black and white ultrasound picture framed but never displayed, a forever frozen moment of a life not lived. Weeks turned into a blur, and that small, nondescript box seemed to meld into the very fabric of our living space. It became part of the scenery, another piece of emotional furniture. Yet, when night draped its somber veil around our home, ethereal notes would escape from its confines. It was a haunting lullaby, the same one that was meant to lull our baby to sleep under the mobile that had been eagerly hung but was later disassembled with shaking hands. No matter how much I rationalized it away as a figment of a grieving mind in overdrive, the lullaby persistently wove itself into the fabric of my dreams, serenading the memories of a heartbeat forever silenced. It was an ordinary evening, or as ordinary as evenings could be now, when I felt compelled to reopen the box. With hesitant hands, I broke the invisible seal, peering into the ink-black interior. Nestled among insignificant trinkets and untouched toys was the onesie we had picked for his journey home, a journey never embarked upon. Underneath the tangible items, the melody resided, almost as though it were emanating from a parallel universe where he existed, where everything was as it should be. My hand reached into the abyss, through the heavy air thickened by despair, and touched something plastic and cold. It was a binky, specially chosen because of its basketball design, an ode to dreams of future games and shared passions. Holding it in my hand felt like clutching onto a fragment of a shattered mirror, a piece of a reflection that would never show the whole picture. I carried the binky back to our bedroom, where my wife lay entwined in sheets, deep in a restless sleep. I gripped it like a talisman, as if squeezing hard enough could extract an essence of lost opportunities and vanished tomorrows. My prayers bounced off the walls, absorbed by a silence that refused to answer back. It was a void, an emptiness that became my second skin, wrapping around me tighter and tighter until it felt like a part of me. The sunrise greeted me not with promise, but with a shroud of gloom that felt nailed to the sky, reflecting my inner world. Each new dawn only intensified the acute sense of unreality, as if I were a character in a tragic play I didn't audition for. There was an incongruity in the routine of everyday life, a grotesque normality that felt like a parody of itself. Even well-intentioned visits from friends and family seemed to widen the chasm between my internal turmoil and external expectations. Their voices sounded like they were coming from a great distance, their words mingling into a cacophonous blend of meaningless sounds. Their lives moved in technicolor, while mine was a grainy black and white film, devoid of vibrancy. Despite the advice that filled the pages of self-help books, scripture, and recommendations from well-meaning loved ones, the weight of my grief defied alleviation. Even simple actions like walking became laborious. It was as though I was wading through a swamp that clung to my legs, pulling me deeper into despair with each step. Every attempt to ground myself in the present backfired spectacularly, as seemingly innocuous sights and sounds served as triggers, flinging me back into the inescapable pit of my own sorrow. This despair was not just an emotional state but a corporeal entity, wrapping its tendrils around me, consuming any flicker of hope or light. Each day unfolded as an endless stretch of bleak and barren terrain, with no landmarks, no signs pointing the way. The question that lingered was crushing in its simplicity: is this my forever? A life now framed not by milestones achieved but by irreplaceable loss? Within the confines of our home, I existed but did not live, my heart encased in a shell hardened by unfathomable grief. And there, on the shelf, the cardboard box stood as a silent vigil, holding within it a universe of what could have been. It was a void that seemed destined to echo through the remainder of my days, a haunting refrain in a song of endless night. As the months passed, I found myself often drifting into the room that would never hear the cooing or laughter of a child. The walls, once painted in soft hues of hope and anticipation, now stood as unyielding barriers to a future forever altered. The echoes of what could have been, should have been, pulsated in a silent rhythm, forming a discordant symphony with the haunting lullaby that still emanated from that inconspicuous box. So, the cycle continues, day into night, night into day, each indistinguishable from the last. In a world that carried on with relentless indifference, I remained tethered to that nondescript box, to the room filled with the color of emptiness, into a haunting melody that plays endlessly in the background of a life suspended in shades of gray.